Our scripture reading this morning from Luke 19 verses 1 through 10, followed by Romans 12 verse 1 through 3. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." From Romans 12, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Here ends our scripture reading. May we hear the small whisper of God's presence and understand the message coming to us in Jesus' name. My friends, one day, it was still during the pioneering years of space travel, Wernher von Braun, rocket engineer and leading authority on space, gave a speech. And during question and answer time, a dear elderly woman stood up, looked him in the eyes and asked, "Why can't we forget about all these newfangled ideas about going out into space? Can't we rather be content to stay at home and watch television like the good Lord intended?" Still in space, my friends, NASA's Galileo spacecraft made breathtaking discoveries about the giant planet Jupiter, until the day it plunged into Jupiter's crushing atmosphere, and that was the 21st of September 2003. NASA named this mission, you may recall, Galileo, and they did so in honor of the Italian Renaissance scientist Galileo Galilei. It was he who discovered Jupiter's major moons way back, already in the year 1610. So we may ask, who was this Galileo Galilei? Well, for starters, I can tell you that the medieval Catholic Church officially condemned him on a charge of heresy. The church wrongly convicted Galileo because of his conclusion that the earth rotates round the sun. And 350 years of silence went by. But on October 31, 1992, after Galileo's death, 350 years, Pope John Paul II gave an address on behalf of his church in which he admitted that the church was wrong in its case against Galileo. For some, and we know that for sure, for some, letting go of outdated beliefs and superstitions is usually difficult. For many, it is impossible. Unbelievably, but even in our times, we are still hearing voices of condemnation originating from fundamentalist Christian quarters against the most profound advances in scientific knowledge. My friends, the medieval church often claimed to be speaking for God. That was the authority of the church, to go to anyone and say, "Thus says God." Today, it is common knowledge that they were often dead wrong in medieval times. In many instances, their interpretations was nothing but a medieval understanding of God. They believed in those days that God spoke long, long ago in history. And they also believed that God then fell silent, leaving it to them to be the only credible witnesses as to what, where, and when God spoke. Today, with the privilege of hindsight, we know how wrong they often were, and we are reminded how wrong we are when we believe and proclaim that only our version of truth is really from God, while we are equally convinced that others' versions are not. Well, Galileo's experience was not the first in history. The church leaders in the time of Jesus were in opposition to the Jesus teachings because this Jesus came and he dared to describe God as a loving and a forgiving parent. And to be quite frank with you, the church couldn't tolerate that, because it was standard practice. It was correct. It was according to church law in the times of Jesus to condemn tax collectors like Zacchaeus. To throw out and to stone sinners like that woman that was caught in an act of prostitution. The church dictated, condemn them. It was custom to roll up the welcome mat whenever any one of them approached. What was Jesus saying to them? Jesus was telling them that God is not silent, but that God is still speaking. And then Jesus challenged their perceptions of God's will and God's justice as being fossilized, out of date, wrong. So something earth-shattering happened that day in Jericho. Jesus broke the mold of isolation and condemnation, and he dared to go into a sinner's home. Against the belief, against the custom, in the midst of infuriated leaders of the church. We don't know what happened inside. But we received word from Jesus afterwards. Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. And that, according to the custom of that time, was heresy. Because sons of Abraham's, it was in a time before women really counted. Sons of Abraham's were really confined to those who believed as the Pharisees and the scribes did. Jesus was not only loving Zacchaeus. Jesus was confronting the perceptions of his time. The only way for the scribes and Pharisees to discern the will of God was on that day, and from that day on, they had to rethink their antiquated prejudice and rejection. Not only they were the sons of Abraham, said Jesus. Even someone like the despised Zacchaeus, like the woman in the street, was part, integral part of God's people. And much later, another son of Abraham, the Apostle Paul, would appeal to Christians of all times. That's what we read in Romans. Re-examine your mind and your mind set. Oh yes, we live in a time of antiquated, fossilized mind sets. Re-examine, said Paul, and do not be a victim of your own fossilized perceptions of truth. Paul said it so strong and so beautiful. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Always return to the fountain of truth. God was speaking then in the midst of the Judeans. Later, amongst the Greeks and the Romans. And God is still speaking to this very day. There is no reason, there is no excuse to rest easy with what previous generations concluded. Oh, I believe that God is still speaking. I believe that Jesus lived and taught the way to the heart of God. I believe that we must always ask, as if for the first time, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond? What would Jesus do? So if you and I, in difficult and uncertain times like these, really want to hear what the speaking God is saying, we must listen to what God is saying through Jesus Christ. Keep Jesus in mind. For us, Jesus is still the ideal of what a true, vital, and meaningful life can and should be like. Keep your eyes on the Master. I love to tell the story. It is He who said, "I will those who come to me accept and never reject." Let me take a personal moment to say a heartfelt thank you. Exactly 6 years ago, I stood in this pulpit for the very first time on the 9th of September 2001. And since that day, I have come to love, to know, respect, and appreciate so many of God's people in our midst. I've clearly recognized Jesus Christ in your acceptance, in your openness, in your generosity, in your love, and your service to the kingdom of God. Just one message today. Let us continue seeking together to discern the true will of God. What is good? What is acceptable? And what is perfect? Our search is not yet over. The journey continues. I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I would rather have someone walk with me than merely tell the way. You can always preach a better sermon with your life than with your lips. Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness calling and free. Spirit of restlessness, stir me from placidness. Wind on the sea, you call from tomorrow, you break ancient schemes. From the bondage of sorrow, the captives dream dreams. Our women see visions, our men clear their eyes with bold new decisions. Your people arise. Thank you for accepting me as one of you. Let us move forward in service of a loving and still speaking God. Amen.